Hello and welcome to another episode of the Two Bros Podcast. We are Two Bros. This is the Two Bros Podcast. You're in the right place. Welcome, welcome. And you've come back for more. I mean, what else can I ask for? Like, I ask for very little things in life, and the big man, the Lord upstairs, has answered all my prayers and it has brought you to my doorstep, or at least your ears to my doorstep. So welcome. I'm glad you're here, and I hope this is an informative episode, because I've been planning to do this for a while, and a lot of people have a lot of questions about this. And as you've probably guessed by the title of the show, we are going to talk about how does one become a drone pilot in India. A lot of myths and legends around this topic for some reason, because a lot of rumors. People are not entirely sure what the rules and regulations are. So that's why I'm here. I am your man. I am your guide. Let me walk you through this process. If you are interested, this is the place to be. Now, obviously, check the date stamp, because drone laws in India are still pretty new. They're very new and they are dynamic. They can change, subject to feedback from companies, individuals, and their own research. DGCA can change these rules at any point because they are brand new. Some of the language in these rules is still a bit ambiguous. It's up for contention, and it can, in the event of a dispute, we don't know. Maybe it will change, maybe it won't, we don't know. But anyway, here I am. And like you, I also thought that all drone flying is banned, and you need express permission from, DGCA, the police, ministry of God knows what, to be able to fly a drone. And like you also, I thought that foreign drones in India are banned. You couldn't do that. You couldn't buy a drone in, let's say, Singapore and fly it and, you know, take it with you in India and you'll be fine. That's also what I thought. So I'm here to clear all of that, and let's get started. So how did I get into this whole drone business? It's funny, because it was an ad in the newspaper. How often do you end up with a newspaper these days? I mean, I barely... If I'm at my parents' house, then I like pick up a newspaper, because they still get newspapers. I really don't. Most of my news is online. And that ad had something, which it said something like, drone pilots required, must be licensed by DGCA. I said, this is interesting. And I was in the zone at that point where I had just finished my exams and I was signing up for everything. I signed up for scuba, signed up for... literally anything. And I was like, let's do this. And if you know me personally, I do everything the right way. I don't want to take shortcuts. There's no point. Yes, you can learn how to fly a drone and how to do all of this on YouTube. But I want to learn from the right place, the right instructors, the right recognized organization. So that's why I went online and I found this institution called the Drone Academy in the government of in the state of Telangana. Signed up with them. It was fairly straightforward. So in a sense, they give you a link where you have to fill in your details and pay the money. And a ticket is generated. Now, based on that, you can join the classes anytime. You just have to coordinate with them. Very nice people there. Just let them know when you're available and when you'll actually be flying in. To attend the classes, and that's it, job done. They'll schedule you. I think they require a minimum of 3 or 5 participants. So when they have a good enough clump of people, they will fill you in, and then that's it. You just got to go there and attend classes. Simple as that. Nothing too complicated. Now, here's the thing. Like, I'm reading off Drone Rules 2021. It's a 40-page PDF with all the rules, which at the latest rules, let's say. So it's a 20-page in a sense, because the first half is in Hindi and the next half is in English. It says, I'm reading of Part 6, Remote Pilot License. It says, in terms of eligibility, it says how, so people ask, like, who can apply for this license? And this is it. It says in point number 33, it says, an individual shall be eligible to obtain a remote pilot license if he, A, is not less than 18 years of age and not more than 65. 18, I understand. 65, maybe it's a sight thing, I don't know. B has passed class 10th examination or its equivalent from a recognized board. So you just need to be a class 10th graduate. That's it. And then it says, has successfully completed such training that may be specified by the Director General from any authorized remote pilot training organization. So that's important, you need to check if your course is DGCA approved or not, because I'm pretty sure there are a lot of courses running around which will just give you a certification. They will not give you, they're not recognized. And it's the same with shipping. You know, you a lot of people running pre-C courses, and the parallels between DGCA and DG shipping are very, very similar. It's uncanny. So you have to recognize which one is recognized by the DGCA, and that's the one you need to go for, because that's the one that is legit, right? Anyway, so I flew to Hyderabad, went to the place, and it was fairly straightforward. You attend your classes. I think there were like 8-9 of us. The first day was, in a sense, introduction, where we are explained what drone laws are, what this course is about, different types of drones, and a lot of stuff. At some point, I felt like there's a strong overlap with commercial flying. Some of the topics were like, the concepts of flight. How does it take flight, and the aerofoil design, and there was a part of how you communicate with the towers. I understand, like, at this point it's a bit early, but eventually they are planning to incorporate drones and the bigger drones into the ecosystem, where you need to have certain things like no permission, no takeoff, and it's tracked by a tower, central tower of some kind within an area. It's evolving. So they've already introduced this topic in the course, and that's that. Second day is more about drone functions. It's entirely about drone. You're dealing less with the commercial flying and the monikers and stuff. So this is more about the drone itself. The parts of the drone. And on the second day, where you get drone components and you have to assemble the drone in the class. And you check if you've done it right, if it works, and then you're explained how a drone functions. Lift, yes, of course. How does it turn left and right, and how does it bank left and bank right, and how does it go forward and back, in a sense, for all kinds of configurations, the cross configuration, the plus configuration for quadcopters, hexacopters, octocopters, whatever. That was very interesting, because first day, if you're not a person who comes from a law background, reading about laws and drone laws and whatever laws is, especially, it's pretty boring, and it takes a toll on you. I speak from experience. Somebody who has cleared his chief engineer's exams, the amount of laws I had to study, oh my God, man, it was dull. And I barely have any use of that, but whatever. So anyway, day three, if I remember correctly, again, this was a while back, so I'm just like trying to remember from my already busted memory. Day three, I believe, was spent on the simulator, and now this simulator was state of the art. It was so good. The response time, okay, I can say this now, the response between an actual drone and the simulator drone is very, very similar. The good thing is you can crash your simulator drone n number of times, there's no problem. But there are a series of maneuvers that you need to do, you need to perform. Obviously, you're timed and you're scored. If you crash too much, obviously your score goes down. If you take a lot of time, your score goes down, and you need to score at least, I think it was a B+ or a B on every single test. And then you need to, I think there were like good number, I think the 40s odd maneuvers you need to do. Some are pretty basic, go forward, go aft. And I say aft, but it's, what's the terminology in aviation for back? Is it aft? Is it still aft? I don't know. I guess I'll have to look it up. Then it gets a little complicated, where it says, okay, so there's a circle, which is like, it's a glowing illuminated circle, and it's on the ground, and it says you need to keep your drone within the circle, and the circle kind of moves on the floor. You need to like go with it. And then it gets even more tricky. And this is the part where I kind of struggled with. It was inverted controls, where let's say your drone is facing you. Now, forward is back and back is forward, and left is right and right is left, because controls have inverted. Now, on the simulator itself, it was a bit easy because you had the drone's perspective as well. And then you just follow forward and aft and left and right as is. But if you're looking at the drone and then flying, then it's totally reversed. I hope you can understand what I'm saying. But that took a while. And it's not just forward and aft. It's more about, it's, again, banking left and right. And you have to, again, like I said, you have to be, you're timed at this point. So that was a bit tricky. It took a while to get used to that, but I did eventually. And then there was an obstacle course in the simulator. Now, that was the interesting bit. apologies. I believe I asked the instructors there, I said, what's the record time here? Somebody said, I think it was 48 seconds, 49 seconds for the whole course. I came close to 52, but yeah, I couldn't do it. But the number of times I crashed, oh man, it wasn't even funny. If it was an actual drone, the damage would have gone into like high seven figures because I crashed a lot. But yeah, I scored 52 a bunch of times, but nothing lower than that. But yeah, the simulator was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. I think I did the whole thing twice. And yeah. Anyway, the last 2 days were actual flying. Yeah, we taken to an airfield. I forgot the name. A little bit further away from where the institute is. Got into a bus, all of us, all seven, eight of us. I think there were seven, eight of us in the group. And we went to this airfield and then we were split into three groups. And we did some actual flying. And straight away, you realize it's a little bit different because I was assigned a squad which had a hexacopter operating. It was a little bit different in terms of maneuverability and some, let's say, it was more responsive than a simulator. It was faster, I would say. With the sliders of touches, it would just go past you and then you're stuck. I think the good thing about a drone is once you let go of the controls, it just hovers. It doesn't run away from you. If you feel like you're losing control, just stop what you're doing. It's just going to stay there. And I think that puts your mind at ease. Like, it's not like an RC airplane where if you let go of the control, it's still moving forward and you need to do something about it. So drones, they're relatively a little bit easier to handle. So that was fun. The fourth day, we were just doing square patterns and circles and infinity symbols. And then it was the last day where they installed a telemeter on it and they... the patterns were logged on a laptop. And this stuff, all of this stuff is including your simulator scores and the pattern that you draw on the telemeter is uploaded and it's submitted to DGCA with your whatever number. And then that's how your license is processed. That's what happens, right? And that was it. That was a 5-day course. I think if I remember, in this particular academy that I went to, I paid around 50,000. I think that was what I paid around. It was around that figure roughly, yeah. And yeah, I would say money well spent. I felt like I learned a lot. I came back happy. And the last day, just before leaving, there was a viva, one-on-one viva. Again, based entirely on these drone laws, just these 20 pages. And you're asked questions. And me being from a sailor's background, I'm used to vivas a lot because every few years we used to have these competency exams. So I was okay with it. And honestly, these rules are not very complicated. Once you get the hang of it, you understand what it is. You don't have to repeat these laws verbatim. As long as you can explain your answer, you're good to go. And you're not put on the spot. Like if you don't know, you've got to do the course all over again. You just there's a bit of a leeway, but it's always good if you've come prepared. So anyway, I'm just going to go through these laws here really quickly. Obviously, I'm not going to read all of it. Starts off with preliminary, which is part one, and then... for instance, there's point number three, which is definitions, where they explain what certain terms mean, like what is an accident, what is an aeroplane, what is authorized remote pilot training organization, what is digital sky platform, what does a drone mean, what is a green zone. All of these terms are explained, and that's basically how all, let's say, laws start, right? We go to part two. It says classification of unmanned aircraft system. Now, I have this PDF. In fact, this PDF is available online as well. It's no secret. If you want to get this PDF, get in touch with me. We have an Instagram channel. Just leave me a text and I will send you the PDF. There's no problem. Coming back. Okay, so point four, it says categories of unmanned aircraft system. And they explain airplanes, rotorcraft, hybrid unmanned aircrafts, and then... aeroplane and this can be subcategorized as remote piloted, model remotely piloted, and autonomous, things like that. And then there's classifications of aircraft like nano and micro and small and medium and large. Now, nanos are anything below 250 grams, Microwave is between 250 and 2 kilograms. Small is between 2 and 25. Medium is between 25 and 150. And large is anything above 150. I think if I remember, let me just check my logbook. My license allows me to fly medium, if I'm not wrong. I'll have to check this. Anyway, I think I will refer to my license. I'll probably open it up. Anywho, then you go into part three, certification of unmanned aircraft system. And then it says, this is the important bit. It says, no person shall operate an unmanned aircraft system in India unless such unmanned aircraft system conforms to a type certificate or is exempted from a type certificate. Obviously, now this goes more towards the manufacturing side. But you can't just like build a drone in your house and start flying it. And that just doesn't work. You have to get a type approval. And there's a whole procedure for it, right? Obviously, there's an application procedure mentioned, Form D1, particulars, and then its prototype is being physically handed over to the authorized training testing entity. And the quality council will do their tests and then decide if they can be permitted or not. That's the other thing. And then we go to part four, which is registration of unmanned aircraft system. Again, I'm just reading the main points. I don't want to like bore you because it is boring, let's be honest. But it's good to know this. It's very important. If you want to be a drone pilot, this is stuff you need to know. Think of these as rules of the road. You have a car. Let's say you got a driver's license. You get a car and now you need to drive on the road. You can't just drive and do whatever the hell you want. You have to follow the rules. And these are those rules. So it's not like, okay, if it's in the air, it can go anywhere, you can do whatever you want. No, there are rules here, right? And so coming to point number 14, it says, no person shall operate an unmanned aircraft system without first registering it on the Digital Sky platform and obtaining a unique identification number unless exempted. Now, that's the thing. Now, most YouTubers in India, I would say, have purchased drones and they say, no, license is not required because it's nano, which is fine. I'll come to that. But your drone is not registered on the Digital Sky platform. And that's a problem, you know, when people take laws into their own hands and then everything goes for a toss. Anyway, going down further, there's something called an airspace map, point number 19. Very important, you need to refer to this map every single time you fly. If you are in fact, a green zone and you're allowed to fly this drone there or not. It says, the central government may, within 30 days of the notification of these rules, publish on the Digital Sky platform an airspace map for unmanned aircraft systems operations, segregating the entire airspace of India into red zone, yellow zone, and green zone, with a horizontal resolution equal to or finer than 10 meters. Very important. Some of these are marked as permanently red, you know, areas like airports and stuff, and some buildings of importance. For instance, I think Taj Mahal is a no-drone zone, if I remember. I was there not too long ago. But some areas are interactive. Let's say there's a political rally happening somewhere or there's some disturbance happening somewhere. So the police can they have to submit it to DGCA and then the red zone will be created on the map. Then you know you can't fly it, right? So point number 21 is very interesting. It says mandatory pre-flight checks, which is very important. This is up to you. You're the guy who's operating the drone. You need to verify that your drone operates in a satisfactory condition. Point number 22, requirement or prior permission. It says no person shall operate an unmanned aircraft system in a red zone or yellow zone without prior permission. Okay. And point number 2 says no prior permission shall be required for operating an unmanned drone in a green zone, subject to provision of Rule 21. Rule 21 is the pre-flight checks. So that's clear. I mean, it's not like, as per this rule, it says without prior permission in a red and yellow zone. Obviously, once you get permission, you can get a provisional permission. But again, I'm guessing it's for the serious stuff like mapping and surveillance or whatever. You can't just like fly drones there for fun. You know, that's if you apply for it, you'll probably not get it. That's what I think. Right. Temporary red zone. That's the one. Let's see what it says here. Declared by an officer not below the rank of superintendent of police or his equivalent. Right. And they need some time. Anyway. Moving on. Then there's safe operation, dangerous goods, right of way, this and that. Remote pilot license, part number 6. This is the important bit. Rule number 31, general. It says no individual other than the holder of a valid remote pilot license enlisted on the digital sky platform shall operate an unmanned aircraft system. So you don't have a license, you cannot fly. Simple as that. Remote pilot license shall specifically mention the category, subcategory, and the classification of the unmanned aircraft system or a combination of those for which it is used. Procedure for obtaining a license. Any individual who desires to obtain a license for any category shall complete the training specified by the Director General through an authorized remote pilot training organization, which is what I did. And then there's stuff for the organization, like within 7 days of completing the training, the organization shall make an application for the pilot. Now, that's not your bit. You have to, the organization will do it. Obviously, you have to send them some documents like the scans of your logbook. I'll come to that. And that's it. And it says the individual in respect of whom an application has been made by the authorized remote pilot training organization shall be issued a remote pilot certificate through the Digital Sky platform. So the website is pretty straightforward. It gets a bit complicated, but there are a lot of YouTube videos who will guide you through this process. And the best thing is, after I finished this course, I was added to a WhatsApp group of all the people who have graduated from this organization, and they are people who are doing some really good work. They help each other out. I simply posted a query like, how does one do this? And everybody was very helpful. It's a small ecosystem and it's growing. Of course, it's growing and it's going to boom in the next few months, few years. People are very helpful. And I got my job done in no time at all. Coming back, point number 35, validity of license. A remote pilot license shall be valid only if it is enlisted on the Digital Sky platform, unless suspended or cancelled, remain valid for 10 years. Yes, so my license, the one that I got after this, is good for 10 years. And then you just need to renew it. And then the point number C is be renewed by the Director General for such period as may be specified therein, subject to maximum period of 10 years or payment of fees in Rule 46. That's it. Now, this is the point in contention. Point number 36, exemption from obtaining license. No remote pilot license shall be required for operating a unmanned aircraft system and operating a micro unmanned aircraft system for non-commercial purposes. Now, what are non-commercial purposes? Is YouTube filming a non-commercial purpose? Because people do get paid for, if they get a bunch of followers or a bunch of views, they do get paid via YouTube. So does that qualify as non-commercial, or is it just flying drones for fun? Because I'm guessing on nano drones, maybe you can mount cameras on nano drones. But if it's just for fun, then it qualifies as non-commercial. But if you're filming it and posting it with the intention of being an influencer and you get paid, is it still non-commercial? ? I am not sure about this. So yeah, that remains unanswered. The best thing you could do is pay the money, get a license, get it out of the way. Don't get caught in these loopholes, you know. And it's a good course. It's very informative and you meet some very interesting people there. Anyway, then there's some rules about the training organization itself. We're going to skip through that. Research and development, skip through that. Traffic management, there's some stuff here. Insurance, you can get your drone insured. You probably should get your drone insured, yeah. It says, what does it say here? Person operating an unmanned aircraft system may use an insurance product specially designed for such operations as and when such insurance product is approved by the Insurance Regulatory and Development Authority of India, right? Unmanned aircraft promotion. And then you have miscellaneous, you have a table, you have a fee structure, offenses, penalties, power to inspect, cancellation, repeal and saving. And then you have the forms D1, D2, D3, D4. D3 is here, there's D4, and there's a D5 as well. So you have it's all here. So anyway, these are the drone rules. So what I did was I completed my training, and then I was still traveling, and my logbooks were with a friend of mine. I'm just opening my license here. Yeah. Friend of mine. So I was still traveling, so I completed my trip. I got back home, I collected the documents from her, scanned everything, sent it to the organization. They applied for the thing, and then they created a profile, I believe. No, wait. I think they did everything. Okay, yeah, the license itself was all there, but the UIN for the drone that I purchased was through me. Yeah. And it took like a day or two and my license was here. There was no problem at all. And yeah, I'm looking at my license right now. It says class of unmanned aerial system is small. So I'm good to fly anything up to 25 kilograms in terms of drone, like the whole weight. Yeah. So that's good. That's a decent amount. What I did then was I went on a website and purchased a DJI drone. And then I registered it on the website. I got a UIN. You have to write your UIN on the drone itself, and then you are good to go. A few days ago, I was employed, in quotes, for a product launch. Not a launch, it was a product shoot, sorry, I should say. And they required some drone shots for that. The first thing I did was, without even going there first, I asked for the location of the place, and then I checked if it's in a green zone or not. The second thing you need to do is tell the organizers to ask the owners of the place if they authorize drone operations there, because it's their land. You know, if they say we don't want drones here, you can't. You just can't fly it. You just can't. It's not something you can do. So once that's cleared up, then you're good to go. A good practice, as was instructed to us during the course, was that if you are going to be in a place which is, you know, very public or whatever, it's always good to inform the local police that you will be operating your drone in this area. It's good that they know. If you're suddenly random, even if you are in a green zone, a police man comes to you and says, what's going on here? Where is your permission? And if you tell them, I don't need permission, and they are not well versed with the laws, then it's just stuff you can avoid. So if you do end up, it's a good practice, they say. And if you just inform them in advance that this is what's going to happen, fair enough. And then it's no problem at all. But then again, you know, you got to be responsible. Like, we've seen just how bad the traffic situation in India is. People drive on the wrong side. They jump red lights. The rules are broken all over the place. And I can see, like, even with drones, the rules are being broken. Like, it's crazy just how laxed the approaches towards laws in India. I don't understand why that is. Just do it right. Everybody, if we all do it right, this is going to be a better place to be in, you know. So anyway, I purchased that drone, got it registered. Once everything was in place, and then you need to check if it reflects on the website now. And I believe, if I remember correctly, there are only a total of 8,324 UINs issued in the whole of India. 8,000. So at the moment, there are only 8,300 registered drones on that website, but I'm pretty sure there are more in operation. And make of that what you will. Drone flying itself, it's very interesting. I quite enjoyed it. I took a lot of shots of the product. I'm not at liberty to mention what the product was. Took a lot of shots, took a lot of moving shots. I did one where it was moving down and the camera, which was on the gimbal, was moving up. So it took like a nice little transition shot. It was beautiful. You can do all kinds of complicated maneuvers. Like, I did one where the drone was reversing and going down and sort of panning at the same time. So you get the product in focus after you've come out of the background. That was fun. Did some flybys, like you coming towards the product at really low on the ground, and then you rise up, and then, the website for that, for purchasing a drone, I think it's called Design Info. There are all kinds of drones available there. Within 2 or 3 days, it'll get delivered to your house. Even Amazon delivers drones. That is, strictly speaking, not entirely illegal, but as long as you register your drone, it is recognized by Digital Sky, I think you're good to go. There's a whole history there which they'll inform you about why this system is in place and what really was the system before, and how all drones from outside India were discouraged, and a creative space was given to Indian drone manufacturers to create their own drones and have their own indigenous system, and let people use those drones instead of foreign brands. So, you know, there's an ecosystem that grows within India. But there's a story, the professors will tell you how it was basically exploited by these companies who took government grants and produced garbage. And in the end, their parts were also imported from China. So, And then it's left us with this ecosystem. Anywho. Barring that, pretty straightforward. Drone operations are very nice. You do need practice. I personally felt 2 days of drone operations were not sufficient enough to make you a good pilot. And it's the same thing. Like, you get a driver's license. Does that guarantee you're a good driver? No, it doesn't. You need to practice and you need to make yourself better after a point. And that can only come with actual drone flying, you know. So if you've completed your course, I urge you to get a drone. And any drone will do, man. It doesn't even have to have a camera. It can be anything. Just to get the operations in play. I did that and I took it out in the field and I made some infinities and I made some squares, vertical squares, horizontal squares, took some nice panning shots, this and that. Got a feel of the speed of the drone and, you know, at what point will it like get away from me and I need to like step in and counter steer and then figure it out. So that really helped. And sometimes like in this product shoot, there were cases where it was in a very confined alley. So there was not a lot of leeway to go. And because it was an alley, there was a draft coming down the alley. So when you enter the alley from the side, it was like a moving shot, like the drone comes from the side and then turns left into the alley and there's a product. But in that alley, there was a big draft of air and that made the drone a bit unstable, like a heavy draft, right? So in that case, you need to know how to handle your drone. That comes with practice. A license does not guarantee anything. So some extra rules which are good to follow is always wear like a t-shirt or something which says that you are the drone operator, because for two reasons: in case something goes wrong, people know who the operator is, number one. Second is people stay away from you because you are in operation. Let's say you have those FPV goggles on, you don't know what's going on and you are the drone operator. Create like a little barrier around yourself or wear like those high visibility vests. And that suggests that you are the drone operator, so people give you leeway, they don't bump into you and stuff. So yeah, some standard practices. This was not part of the course, I think, but this was introduced to us by the professor. And yeah, all in all, a very good experience. And after that one product shoot, I was asked to do a few more by some people who wanted to hire my services, because yeah, again, not everybody has the time or let's say even the inclination or the money to go through this course, get properly licensed. If they know a guy who does this for a living, they'll just hire this person. I mean, now drones are even used in weddings and stuff, concerts, think of events. Formula One employs drones here. I was at TCS 10K in Bangalore the other day, 2 days ago. They had drones operating inside the stadium, taking shots of all the participants. So it's happening because it's a new point of view. Everyone's tired of the camera point and shoot. We've seen all those pictures which are at eye level. We have seen everything. We're done with that. Now, if somebody comes with a drone and takes an aerial shot, now that's something which people want to see now. And it's picking up like crazy. It's crazy. It's everywhere. Not just that. So I was the only person who wanted to take shots for my personal use. Like when I was traveling, I wanted to take some nice shots of the hills and stuff. There were others. There were agriculture scientists in my batch who wanted to deploy drones for crop surveillance, maybe to a point of deploying pesticides on the crops. So you can select, you can make a flight plan. And obviously, let's say you have a field which has two different crops on it. So you mark what pesticide goes in this part of the field and what goes in the other part of the field. So you can do that. And the ecosystem is evolving. It's crazy. And on that group that I was mentioning, there are people who are posting job listings. For instance, there was one the other day about requiring drone pilots for surveilling different parts of India. And I believe the government of India is mapping all of the Indian terrain. And what they do with it is up to them. That's later. That comes later. But just the mapping, the aerial mapping of the entire surface of India is happening. And they require pilots for that. So you don't even need to go somewhere. Maybe if you apply, I haven't applied yet, but I'm saying maybe if you apply there, they'll just say, okay, you need to be in this area, which is near where you stay. Take this kind of a shot and send it back to us. And that's it. That's your job. That's done. It's easy. Right now, there are very few drone pilots who are recognized, and that works in your favor. So if you do this and if you get into the game early, the doors are open for you. You can get a lot of stuff done. And drone pilots do get paid pretty well. I don't know what they get paid. I don't know what the asking rate is. This gig that I did was entirely for experience. I didn't get paid anything for this, but I think the drone shots came out well. I am going to upload them once the product launches. I will upload them on my socials and take bookings for drone shots and stuff, and take that into like a side gig. Why not? You know, that checks out. So anyway, that's the roundup of how to be a drone pilot in India. I hope I've covered everything. I hope I've answered all your questions. But if you have any other questions, you know where to find us. The Two Bros Podcast on Instagram. Look us up. Send us a message. Give us a like. Give us a share. Share it with your friends. Share it with your family. Share it with somebody who might be interested. We cover a lot of topics. If you have a topic in mind, if you want something talked about, let me know. If you want to come on the show and talk about something, let me know. We can set it up. There's no problem. And with that, this is the end of episode number 98. Man, we're coming close to 100. I think episode 100 should be something grand, something massive. I don't know yet. I don't know what it's going to be. But let me think of something. Let's do something fun. Yeah, anyway. Alrighty, I will see you on the next one. Bye-bye.